A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas.
Chapter 42. Entia. Cronest resolved itself out of the stars in a swirl of white and blue as Din brought the fly out of hyperspace and racked her down to sublight. Grogu, strapped carefully in the co-pilot seat next to Din, made an inquisitive noise at the side of the planet, his ears pricking up curiously. At some point since he'd woken up from his nap, Grogu and Din had left the Jedi Academy together several hours ago, and once he'd examined every last inch of the Kirik fly and decided that it was an acceptable substitute for the crest, Grogu had promptly fallen asleep. Grogu had taken his little mythosaur pendant out from underneath his Jedi clothes and was chewing on the leather cord again, the small metal skull clutched carefully in his fist. "Yeah, buddy," Din said, studying Cronest as it grew larger and larger in his viewport. "A new place, huh?" "Gah," said Grogu. He was eyeing the planet distrustfully. Din didn't blame the kid. Din missed the Jedi Temple, too. He could admit that to himself in the privacy of his own head. The day and a half that Din had spent there had been peaceful, quiet. Or as quiet as the pyramids could get when Din had half of the Academy's younglings following him around like Tukakits trailing after their mother anyway. The kids hadn't been too bad. Din had liked them. He hadn't even had any other nightmares after the strange one he'd had in the meditation garden. Din's second night on Yavin 4 had been restful and serene. Din had bedded down in the academy itself, offered a spare room down the hall from the crash, and the stone walls had kept even Din's persistent bad dreams out. Cronest, for all it looked peaceful and quiet from out here in the black, wasn't going to be restful. It wasn't going to be serene. Not with Kreese's summit starting tomorrow. Even if the only Mandalorians who showed up were Kreese's people and just a few of Din's, someone would start a fight. Probably Paz, Din thought. But he knew that Kreese might decide she wanted to make an example of Din too and go for him herself. Koska must have told her that Din was Darmanda by now. Din's fingers twitched around the fly's controls. He didn't want to land on Cronest. Din had intentionally walked into his fair share of traps before, but there was a difference between walking into an enemy's cantina, or even an Imperial base, and intentionally walking into a room with an enemy army. Koska Reeves hadn't said just how many Mandalorians Kreese had managed to convince to flock to her signet, but Din could add the numbers up on his own. Clan Ren, Din thought, remembering the young man in black and yellow armor on the Gratua. Clan Saxon, too, if only because Kreese has a hostage. Clan Cast, Clans Woves and Reeves, if there are any Clans Woves and Reeves. Myra Antilles and Kreese's nephew, her sister's son, and any other clanless warriors who might still live and have some carbon to burn against the Empire. Din was about to be badly outnumbered. His body knew it, too, and was fighting with his reason, determined to escape, to live. "I'm not gonna die down there," Din told himself.
"Buddha?"
Grogu asked, looking between Din and the small white-gray sphere floating out among the stars, growing larger and larger in the fly's viewport. The kid was nervous, too. Din couldn't blame the kid for that, either. The last time they had visited a frozen world, Grogu had been chased by hungry spiders. Given how that trip had ended, with Din and the Razor Crest both covered in bits of dead spider and Grogu refusing to let Din out of his sight for the next 3 days, Din didn't really blame Grogu for being nervous about visiting another snowy world. It was too late to turn around and drop the kid back off at the Jedi Academy, though, and Din had meant what he told Skywalker. Grogu had a right to be at the summit. He had the right to meet other, real Mandalorians, to get to know his own people, just as Grogu had gotten to know the Jedi. Din took a deep breath and made himself relax his grip on the fly's controls. His instinct was to run, to bolt back into hyperspace and stay there until he could drop back into safe territory. But it was too late to run now. Din and Grogu weren't alone up here. The Gratua, Kreese's Battle One light cruiser, hung in orbit over the gray expanse of Cronest's ice fields and mountains. Din could see a few other smaller ships attending her. A sleek black corvette, a cloud of hunter killers, a pair of strange-looking hawkish starfighters that reminded Din of gliding birds. Din was sure that his little ship had already pinged on someone's screen. Kreese knew that he was here. It was too late to run. I can't just stay up here in the black waiting for something to happen, Din thought. And I can't run, either. Kreese was already here. She'd expect Din to... Well, she'd expect him to explain himself, at least. She'd have questions about what Koska had learned on Tatooine. And Din would explain himself. He had no intention of running away, not really, no matter what his body thought. He had sworn to be here. He was here. But first, he thought, hoping that Paz had made it down to Cronest early, like he had promised that he would, I need to find some backup. Din switched the Fly's comms array on, ignored the immediate hail from the Gratua, and signaled Strill and Paz's Huntress, which had hopefully left Tatooine around the time Din had landed on Yavin 4. Strill, because she was worth her weight in Beskar, answered immediately. Din's shoulders dropped a little in relief. Strill's image wavered and flickered across the holo display for a moment, crackling and sputtering as Din's ship tried to accommodate interference from Cronus' atmosphere, then resolved into Strill's familiar chipped helmet. She evidently hadn't been expecting to see Din's bare face, because Din saw her recoil a little when his own image came up on her array, but she recovered quickly enough. Din's helmet was still sitting on top of his bunk. He hadn't decided what to do with it yet, if he was going to wear it to Kreese's summit or not. He knew that he should, if only to avert immediate violence, should any of the children of the Watch show up, but...
Ah...
Grogu asked curiously, leaning around Din's chair to get a better look at Strill. Din pulled his thoughts away from his helmet. Darvod, Strill said, her voice modulated smooth. She had recovered some. Then, with a little more ease, she added, "And Vodika, right?" "Little brother." Din smiled. "This is Grogu," Din said, twisting back around to unbuckle the kid and fish him out of his seat, bringing Grogu up to sit in Din's lap so that Grogu and Strill could see each other a little better. Strill tilted her helmet down, studying Grogu closely. "Morjitika, Lek," she said. The peaks and valleys of her Mandoa were familiar, almost gentle. Din tried to sort the words out in his head. "Shitika," that sounded like little Jedi to Din. "Yes," Din said. He lifted the kid a little so that Grogu could reach for the holodisplay, which the kid did with enthusiasm. He was still clutching his mythosaur pendant tightly in one fist. "Grogu," Din said, pitching his voice so that Grogu could listen and understand. "This is Strill. She's a friend. Elite, remember? I taught you that word."
"Elite,"
Grogu agreed, his claws disrupting Strill's flickering image. Strill chuckled. If she was bothered by Din claiming her as clan, she didn't say anything about it in front of Grogu. She'd been pretty level-headed about the Demanda thing, really. She still called Din Darvod.
"Sukhugar, Grogu Jaren," said Strill, very solemnly.
"Ah?"
Grogu asked, looking back up at Din. "She's saying hello, kid," Din explained, reading the question in Grogu's big eyes. "That's how Mandalorians say hello. Try it. Sukui."
"Suka,"
Grogu said agreeably, stretching the word out, his hand still closed over the mythosaur pendant. Grogu's attempt sounded less like a proper Mandalorian greeting another, and more like the Jawas on Orvala 7 chanting as they opened the Mudhorn's egg, but Din figured that the kid got points for trying. Din's comms array flashed again, showing him that he had another transmission incoming. Din continued to ignore it. "You and Paz make it in okay?" Din asked, turning back to the topic at hand. He was far enough away from the light cruiser that he'd have time to dodge if Kreese got too impatient with him, but Din didn't want to strain that patience more than he had to. "We did," Strill confirmed. "Found ourselves a nice little mountaintop to settle down on for the night. We figured we'd go over to the coordinates for the gathering tomorrow." You didn't have any trouble getting off Tatooine, did you? Strill shook her head. None, she reported. The sector's pretty quiet. She paused, the angle of her helmet considering, then added,
Darvod, well, Ashi Darvod, I'm gonna have to figure out something else to call you. That's gonna get confusing, isn't it? Came by before we left.
Din blinked, not understanding at first. Then he realized what Strill was saying, and Din froze.
Boba.
Grogu looked up at Din again, curious. Din cleared his throat and tried to school his face down into a neutral mask. Strill didn't need to know that Din and Boba had fought with each other. That
what, Din thought. Boba was. He went to Mos Pelgo.
That didn't mean anything, not really. That didn't mean that Boba had gone to Mos Pelgo to look for Din. Mos Pelgo was part of Boba's outfit, after all. He had promised the town its safety in exchange for a safe route to move his freight through the desert. Boba took that duty seriously. He'd probably gone just to check up on Kirsha Littlemoon and the other guards. He was looking for you, Strill continued, her tone almost conversational. Din's heart lurched hard in his chest. Deciding that that feeling, that hope, was almost as dangerous as taking a call from Kreese would be before Din had any backup, Din ignored it, too.
Was he? Said Din carefully.
Strill, he thought, was laughing at him. Don't worry, she said. Paz told him to go cark himself. Wouldn't say a word about you or where you'd gone. I thought Darvod was going to hit him again, but the marshal was there with a pack of town kids, and everybody managed to keep their temper. That was a lot of information for Din to sort through all at once. Several different feelings were jostling against each other in his chest and Din's grip on Grogu, perhaps the only being in the galaxy who Din still knew where he stood with, tightened a little.
Pause, Din started, settling on the easiest part of Strill's declaration to parse. Told Boba to go cark himself.
Din hadn't told Pause or Strill what had happened at the palace. He'd thought about it, sitting there at Paz's borrowed table, but he hadn't been able to figure out what to say. That he loved Boba but had misunderstood him so badly he wasn't sure Boba would ever speak to him again. Din and Paz had talked in Mos Pelgo, but they had talked mostly of the summit or of their kids. Paz had known that Din was hurt. Kadala, Strill had said, wounded. But even though both Strill and Paz had pressed Din, tried to figure out who or what had wounded him in the first place, Din hadn't said anything to them about Boba. Paz had apparently figured out some of what had happened on his own.
He did, said Strill cheerfully. Darvod took it, too. I thought he might go for Vizika again, but he didn't. He just carked off with the marshal.
What did he say to you, Jaren? Paz told him to leave, and Darvod just slunk off like a kicked Vorpak, tail between his legs.
Din sighed and resisted the urge to pinch the crooked bridge of his nose.
It wasn't good, really, that Boba and Paz had crossed paths again, but at least they hadn't come to blows this time. At least no one had been hurt. Then Din's mind caught on something else that Strill had said, that she'd thought that Boba had been about to hit Paz again, and narrowed his eyes.
Strill, Din said, do you know why Paz tried to kill Boba in the throne room?
Strill froze.
She said.
Din pounced on that like a vine tiger pouncing on a hapless galoomp. You do know, he said, faintly accusing. Din had hounded half the palace's staff trying to figure out what had happened in that room and how it had ended with a melted wall, but none of the guards or other members of the palace crew had said anything. Din hadn't known that Strill had been there.
I was there, Strill admitted, sounding half reluctant and half amused. But I didn't. They were just talking one minute, and the next, Paz had started hurling plasma everywhere, and Darvod had tackled him, and it was...
Well, Din scowled. Well, he thought.
But we went to Mos Pelgo right after, Strill added quickly. And Paz calmed down eventually, and no one really got hurt, just Paz's pride, mostly. And Darvod didn't punch him in Mos Pelgo anyway, like I said. Paz didn't punch him either. It's fine.
It wasn't fine. Din didn't know what it was. Paz and Boba, Strill still hadn't said why Paz and Boba had gotten into a brawl in the throne room, but now that Din knew what Paz had told Boba and Mos Pelgo, when Boba had asked after Din, Din thought that he could make a pretty good guess. He knew Boba and Paz both, after all. Either they fought because Paz went after Boba's father, Din thought, or because Paz went after Boba for being an Arrowetti, or because Boba went after Paz about me. Din knew that Boba didn't care much for Din's tribe, for his covert, or for the creed. He'd said as much before when Din had told him, clumsily, about being Darmanda. Boba thought, Boba thinks that the creed, that it's wrong, that what it did to me was wrong. Din's own feelings about that were still a tangle. He'd reached a painful truth, but Din wasn't sure he was ready to reconcile with that truth just yet. He thought, deep in his chest, that Boba was right, that the creed was wrong, that it had asked too much of Din, that it was too unfair, but in his mind. Din pushed the thought away gently. Paz still followed the creed. Strill did, too, and Boba seemed to like her well enough, but Paz. Strill didn't grow up in my covert, Din thought. Paz did. Paz was, is, my brother, and he... What? Din wasn't sure what it was that Boba had wanted from Paz, what Boba had expected. Din had told him enough about the way they'd all grown up that he thought that Boba had understood. That Boba had realized that Paz had grown up just the same as Din had. That the creed and what it had done to Din, and how Din felt about it now, wasn't Paz's fault. Boba had been angry when Din had told him that Paz might try to kill Din for breaking the creed. Din had thought at the time that it had just been a general anger, disgust, because Boba followed a different way and thought that Din's way was strange. But now Din knew that Boba had no way at all, which meant that he hadn't been angry at a different creed. Boba had been angry with Paz directly. Din's heart sank. They were fighting over me, Din said, looking at Strill as her image flickered. Weren't they? Strill cleared her throat. I don't... That's not for me to say, she said. They were being a pair of Shabla idiots, I'll say that, but it's over. And they didn't get into it again in Mos Pelgo. Darvod left. But he still went to Mos Pelgo. He was looking for me, Din thought. He swallowed, and then he set that aside, too. This wasn't Tatooine. Din didn't have time to try and figure out what it had been that Boba had wanted. What Boba wanted now. Din was only a few hours away from walking into a room full of Mandalorians. Some of those Mandalorians might even be Din's own people, but none of them would be happy to learn that Din had broken the creed, that he was Darmanda now and as lost to them as surely as if he was dead. Din shook his head a little, trying to clear it. He tensed his legs almost unconsciously, then released the tension to feel his now-faded welts and bruises throb. The pain helped him a little, even if the memory of Boba's hands on his body made fresh grief well up in his belly. I need to focus. Din cleared his own throat, mimicking Strill, and said, You good if I make a landing? I'd like to introduce Paz to Bo-Katan Kryze before the summit. Strill cocked her head like a curious Jundabird. Really? Din's scowl softened a little. Really, he said. He knew that it was an odd idea. Paz did not, at first glance, look or act like the sort of being who'd thrive sitting on top of the tangled webs of clan politics, tugging here and there like a wishhawk to reel in his prey. Kark first glance, Din thought. Anyone who knows him knows he has no patience. Paz was not a schemer. He wasn't falsely polite with his allies, and he didn't pretend with his enemies either. He didn't take the children of a rival clan into his own to use as hostages, and he didn't lean on other warriors, on Talvode, blood kin, to maintain his own honor. Paz was direct to the point of rudeness. He challenged those he disagreed with constantly. He wielded honesty like a closed fist. He kept his own honor. When they had all been children, Din and Paz and Annika had always been the peacemaker. She'd been the level-headed one. The steady one, always paying attention to those around her. Din and Paz had always been the ones throwing punches. He's not going to enjoy this meeting, Din thought. Paz was gonna hate Kreese. Kreese probably wouldn't like him much either. Paz was a child of the Watch, an extremist. He was stubborn, he didn't bend. But Paz was one of the few allies that Din had left, no matter how tenuous an ally he might be, and Din didn't want to face Bo-Katan and her people alone. Boba wasn't here. Paz was. Din couldn't be sure that Paz would protect Din from their own tribe, from the Allure if she came to the summit and decided that Din, Darmanda, had to die. But he was pretty sure that Paz would back him up against Kreese, if it came to that. Grogu asked again, taking his eyes all the way off Strill's hologram and tilting his head back to look up at Din. He reached for Din's chin with his free hand. I'm fine, kid, Din murmured, tilting his own head back out of Grogu's reach. He made an effort to get his thoughts under control, his feelings. Grogu had had some training now. Din didn't need to freak the kid out by letting himself worry too loudly about what might happen on the light cruiser, on Kronest. Grogu narrowed his eyes, but Din turned his attention back to Strill and said, Yes, really. It's gonna be fine. Strill eyed Din just like Grogu had, her doubts clear even across the flickering connection, but finally dipped her chin. If you're sure, she said. I'll beam you the coordinates. We're not far. See you in a few minutes, yeah? Yeah, Din agreed and cut the connection. His array was still blinking, but he ignored it again. Strill transmitted the coordinates for the mountain she'd set the Huntress down on, and Din punched them into his own navs, then levered a still-suspicious Grogu back into the co-pilot's chair, strapped him in, and began the business of landing the fly. As Din slid down through Kronest's cloudy atmosphere, the fly's viewports beginning to beat up with moisture, Din saw the comms array blink again out of the corner of his eye, then stop blinking altogether. Good, he thought humorlessly. Kreese got the hint. She wasn't going to be very happy with Din when he did go up to the light cruiser, but Din figured that she'd already be unhappy with him, since he was sure that Koska had made it back to her side by now. In for Whoopi-Whoopi, in for Pegat, Din thought wryly. The fly slid down through the lowest cloud layer, and Din found himself coasting above a planet that was slowly unfolding itself from a thick, dense fog. Bald mountain peaks and white ice fields and clusters of tall, snow-covered trees emerging as Din brought the fly down and down. Grogu abandoned his suspicious glaring to look out the viewport, chattering excitedly as the mountains and the trees grew larger. Din smiled. Din had been to a lot of frigid planets over the years. He'd hunted bounties on Podogan and Hoth, had crashed on Maldo Kreese with Grogu. Din had even lived on a frozen planet for a little while. The covert had once spent a miserable handful of months on a planet called Vandor, where the only warmth to be found had been deep inside the mountain caves and the planet's rivers and lakes had stayed frozen under 3 meters of ice throughout the year. It hadn't been the worst place that Din had ever lived, but it had been unpleasant enough that he'd never gone back. Kronest, as it resolved itself into view below Din, at least had some life to it. Most of what Din could see was white and gray, snow and ice and cold, bare stretches of rock. But there were a few scattered forests here and there, little clusters of tall, straight green trees that marched solemnly up and down the flanks of the mountains. Like most of the frozen worlds that Din had visited, Kronest looked like it was only sparsely populated. There were no cities or towns that Din could find, no tightly clustered little villages like Mos Pelgo to break up the snow. The few homesteads that Din saw were solitary. Huts and houses that stood alone among the tall trees or huddled close against rocky screes for protection, pockets of light and warmth at the edge of winter. Kronest was in the Mandalore sector. Din imagined that what had happened to Mandalore and Concordia, to Concord Dawn, to Findar, to Kalevala, had happened here. The Empire had come and it had killed or chased away Kronest's people. Bombed its cities and towns, its little villages. The only people who lived here now would be the people who were left, the ones who had survived. The back of Din's neck began to prickle with unease. He tried to ignore it for Grogu's sake. There was no point in worrying the kid. The coordinates Strill had given Din brought him to a snowy mountaintop. The peak of the mountain had been sheared away by some great explosion or impact, leaving behind a large flat plateau scarred into the rock, and Din was able to maneuver the fly down beside the Huntress, which still looked one particularly rough hyperspace exit away from falling to pieces, without any trouble.
Eh?
Grogu asked, sitting up as tall as he could in his chair and peering out of the fly's viewport. His ears were sticking straight out, a sign of the kid's interest and excitement. Din smiled at that. Yeah, kid, he said. We're somewhere new. Now, be good, okay? We're gonna meet some friends of mine. Ner Ali. Understand?
Grogu tapped his claws against his seatbelt impatiently, and he didn't even wait for Din to finish strapping on all of his weapons before Grogu trundled over to the fly's plug door.
It had only taken Grogu an hour or so of exploring to figure out the layout of Din's new ship, and looked back at Din. He pointed imperiously at the door.
Eh,
Grogu added, for extra emphasis. Din rolled his eyes. I'm coming, kid, he said. Just wait a second, okay? After that first night, Din hadn't gone armed at the Jedi Temple, aside from carrying the Darksaber. Skywalker had wanted to protect his kids from the truth of the galaxy, and Din hadn't felt much like carrying his usual kid anyway. He'd kept the Darksaber with him out of habit, but while he'd been running around with the younglings, Din had left his spear and his blasters and most of his knives behind on the fly. He knew better than to try going so unarmed to a gathering of Mandalorians. Din slid his blaster into its holster and checked the positions of his knives. He made sure that his gauntlets were secure and strapped his Beskar spear to his back. Last of all, he added the Darksaber, hanging it from his belt, and for the first time in months it was heavy against his hip. Din tried not to think about that too closely either. Finally, Din was fully armed and out of reasons to drag his feet. He didn't go for his helmet, instead he opened the plug door, leaning down to gently grab the back of Grogu's shirt to keep him from running down the ramp before it fully extended, then let the kid go and followed behind him, scanning the mountaintop for threats. Din had a pretty good view of Kronest from up here. The sheared-away mountaintop gave Din clear lines of sight for miles in any direction, though neighboring mountains and thick clouds of fog kept him from seeing as far as he probably could in clearer weather. Din couldn't spot any enemy ships hanging in the sky or any snipers on nearby ridges, at least. Paz and Strill had picked a good spot. Grogu saw something, though. He reached the bottom of the ramp before Din and skidded to a stop when he caught sight of Paz, who was leaning against one of the Huntress's dented landing struts, his arms folded across his powerful chest and his helmet angled in Din's direction. Strill and the kids were nowhere to be seen. Grogu pulled his ears back and froze at the bottom of the ramp. When Din caught up to him, he didn't quite turn around and dart for cover behind Din's legs, but he did reach up to clutch the stiff fabric of Din's kuta. Grogu was nervous. Din supposed he could understand why. Grogu hadn't really met any other Mandalorians, not really. He had met Kryze and her Night Owls on Trask, but Din had turned away from them then. He and Grogu hadn't stuck around to get to know them. And Paz was a fair bit bigger than any of Kryze's Night Owls, even Axe-Wove's. Hey, kid, Din said softly, reaching down to scoop Grogu up. It's all right, you don't have to be afraid. His feelings about Din aside, and his habit of trying to kick Din's teeth in aside too, Paz wasn't dangerous, not to Grogu. Paz loved kids, always had, and Grogu was Din's kid. Grogu was clan. You've met him before. Din continued, still speaking quietly as Paz unfolded himself from his lazy slouch and began to limp slowly over to Din and Grogu.
Who?
Grogu asked, looking up at Din. He wrapped a hand around one of Din's thumbs and held on tightly. You might not remember, Din allowed, thinking back to that night on Navarro when Din had taken Grogu back from the Empire and fled Navarro City. Din wasn't sure how much of that night Grogu could remember. He'd been pretty out of it, still woozy from whatever had happened to him inside of Pershing's lab, and Din's frantic fight and flight out of the city had been chaos, a jumble of noise and panic and blaster bolts sizzling through the air over both their heads. He helped us leave, Din said. He brought the other Mandalorians out to save us. We wouldn't have made it off the planet without his help. Grogu made a grumbling noise, still doubtful. You would have managed it, Paz disagreed. He didn't pick up his pace any, but he didn't stop coming towards them either. Might have earned a few more dents in your best, but you would have been all right. Din privately disagreed with that. He had been among the best fighters in the Bounty Hunters Guild, if not the best, but numbers could overwhelm anyone, though he tried not to let his disagreement show on his face. Din had been pretty thoroughly pinned down on Navarro. His Beskar had protected him, but he'd been cornered. Eventually, someone would have gotten a lucky shot in, and that would have been the end of Din. It had been the end of the covert. By exposing themselves to rush to Din and Grogu's aid, his tribe had doomed themselves. But they did it because we needed them to, Din thought. Because that is the way. Well, Paz added, coming to a stop a few feet away, peering down at the kid in Din's arms. Aren't you going to introduce us, Dinika? Din rolled his eyes at the nickname. Grogu flattened his ears again, eyeing Paz with open distrust. He was clutching Din's thumb tightly, with such surprising strength that Din could feel it even through his gloves. Come on, kid, Din coaxed. Say hello, it's all right. Grogu looked up at Din, his eyes still narrowed. I promise, Din added. Paz is family, elite. This was the fourth time that Grogu had heard that word, and this time Din could tell that he understood it. His ears lifted, his grip on Din's thumb eased. He inspected Paz again, looking him up and down, but did it with much less hostility. Yee, Grogu finally agreed. He'd decided that Din was telling the truth and expressed that by letting go of Din entirely, holding his arms out, imperious as the Emperor. And when Paz didn't get the hint right away, added a firm, Ah! Paz chuckled and obeyed, scooping Grogu out of Din's arms with practiced gentleness. He held the kid out for inspection. Din had to fight down the now familiar surge of protectiveness that always came when someone else picked Grogu up. Din hadn't been too bad about it, sharing the kid. Not until Gideon had stolen Grogu. Din hadn't minded Omera carrying Grogu in the crook of her arm like one of the children of her village. He hadn't minded Peli bouncing Grogu on her hip. He hadn't even really minded Grief Karga swooping in and whirling the kid away to spend an afternoon in a schoolroom like a normal child. But after Gideon had come and the Dark Troopers had carried Grogu off... Paz won't hurt Grogu, Din told himself. And if Paz even thought to try anything, Grogu could take care of himself now, anyway. Din doubted that Paz would expect to be tossed 30 or 40 feet away down the side of a mountain by a child who was only roughly the size of Tuca. Let's have a look at you, Adika, Paz murmured, and Din could tell from his tone of voice that Paz was smiling. Din could see it almost, even though Paz was still wearing his helmet. His golden eyes would be turned up at the corners, his yellow clan tattoos would be stretching with the force of his grin. Din relaxed. Your dad didn't bother to introduce you to us last time, you know, Paz continued, inspecting the kid. Din wasn't sure what it was that Paz was looking for, but Paz had been minding the foundlings for years now. He knew kids better than Din did. Paz's voice dropped to a conspiratorial whisper. I think he wanted to keep you all to himself. Grogu giggled. Din rolled his eyes. We were getting shot at, Paz, Din said, though he said it without any heat. We didn't exactly have time to go around and meet everyone. Din honestly hadn't even considered it at the time. When he'd been breaking into the Imperial's base, he'd had a handful of half-formed plans to come back to Navarro later, once it had been safer to drop back in. Grogu would have been safe enough in the covert, at least for a few days. He would have had more than just Din around to protect him. But then Paz and the rest had come out of hiding to save Din's Shebs, exposing them all to the Empire, and Din had known then that he wouldn't have been able to go back. The covert, he thought, would have moved out as soon as the warriors had been able to pack up. Din had planned to try to find them later after things with the Guild had calmed. Paz snorted, which made Grogu giggle again. That's no excuse, he said. Kid looks healthy enough, though. Evadu, you're going to be a strong one, I can tell. Orijal, like your dad. Grogu, always able to tell when he was being admired, giggled and gave Paz a wide, gummy grin. He finally let go of his mythosaur pendant and reached up for Paz's face with both hands. Din stiffened again, alarmed. Grogu had gotten used to seeing Din without his helmet. He knew that Din could take it off, and Grogu liked to see Din underneath the helmet. Liked to play hideaway with it, almost, giggling as he lifted Din's helmet up and down. But Paz... Paz froze too, but Grogu surprised them both. Instead of hooking his claws underneath Paz's helmet, demanding to see Paz's face, Grogu put one hand on each of Paz's cheeks, his claws tapping brightly against the Beskar.
"Ee,"
said Grogu happily, and tapped Paz's cheeks again, then wriggled in Paz's grip like he wanted to get even closer to the older man. Paz stared at Din, bewildered. Din couldn't see Paz's expression, but he thought that he could read it anyway, the confusion written there. Din just shrugged, not sure what it was that Grogu wanted either. The kid was pretty good at communicating, though, even though he hadn't managed basic yet. He'd help Paz figure it out.
"Lee,"
Grogu repeated, and strained up in Paz's grip, pushing his head forward. Oh, Din thought. He knew what it was that Grogu wanted. Paz figured it out, too, because his shoulders dropped just a little and he made a small, fond, huffing sound. He pressed his forehead to Grogu's and greeted him properly. The last of Din's lingering tension went out of him then. How many times had he been greeted like that when he'd been a foundling? Din hadn't been adopted like Paz and Annika had been, but that hadn't meant that he'd gone without affection. Many of the older warriors had greeted Din that way, the proper way, forehead to forehead. When he'd done well in a lesson, when he'd helped out with chores, when they'd had a hard day hunting or mending or scouting around the covert and had come home to find the foundlings waiting for them. Clan, Din thought, watching his son and his brother. Our clan. Our people. It was good that Grogu would have that.
"It's good to meet you, kid," Paz said gruffly.
He pulled his head away and Grogu blinked up at him, looking both smug and content. To Din, Paz added, "He's a good kid." It probably would kill Paz to tell Din to Din's face that Paz thought Din had done a good job keeping Grogu alive, but Din could hear the praise in Paz's voice anyway and smiled. "Most of it's him," Din said, giving Paz an out. "I've just followed him around, mostly. Chased away some spiders, right, kid?"
"Patu,"
Grogu agreed sagely. Paz shuddered. He set Grogu down on the ground gently and looked up as Grogu immediately started to examine Paz's boots and heavy greaves. "Strill said you made it in okay," Paz said, moving straight to business now that the formalities of greet and kin had been observed.
Din nodded. "Was Kreez here when you landed?" he asked.
Paz shook his head. "We were the first here, I think," he said. "That cruiser didn't drop in until late last night. Smaller ships have been coming in throughout the day. We've been watching them on the Huntress. A few more ships have dropped in and landed down here, too. Not all of them are hanging around with the cruiser." "Other factions?" Din wondered. Everyone attending Kreez up in orbit was probably one of her people, those who were landing. "Any of our... of the tribe ping in?" Din asked. Paz shook his head. "No," he said. His tone was unreadable. "But that's not surprising. Strill's tribe's got our codes, and the Allure did too, but everyone else..." Din nodded again. He understood. It had been too dangerous for a warrior to have the codes for more than one or two ships. Din had shared the Razor Crest's codes with Paz and the Allure, so they could find him if they needed to, but he hadn't had the codes for anyone else. That way, he couldn't have betrayed them if he'd ever been captured alive, and few others could have betrayed Din. "We'll find them tomorrow, I guess," Din said. Paz grunted. He looked down at Grogu, who was still fascinated with the differences in Paz's armor, then back up at Din. "Strill said you wanted me to go up and meet this Kreez with you," he rumbled. "Why?" Din grimaced. She doesn't follow the creed," Din said. She's not one of you, but she's not like me either, or I'm not like her."
"You want backup," Paz realized.
Din winced, but nodded. "I know I'm asking too much," he said quietly. It's not your job to watch my back." "Not anymore," he didn't say. But Paz only grunted again. "Kreez is the one who organized all of this," he said, "right?"
"She is," Din confirmed.
Paz cracked his knuckles. Then it'll be good to meet her before it all gets started, he said. I've heard the name. I want to see if this Lady Kreez lives up to her reputation. Din blinked, both relieved and surprised. Relieved, because Paz would come with him, and Din knew Paz well enough to know that Paz would guard Din's back against someone outside of the Creed. And surprised, because Paz had heard of her. How did you hear of her? Din asked, curious. I'd never heard of her until we met on Trask. Trask? Said Paz. The Kirk are you doing there? There's a Quarren syndicate there. It's not safe. I figured that out, actually, Din said, scowling. He was still embarrassed that the Quarren had managed to get the drop on him so easily. And we were looking for you. For the covert, there were rumors of Mandalorians on Trask. I followed them and found Kreez. He didn't particularly want to get into the details, how Kreez had saved Din's life and how Din had left her in disgust, refusing to accept her way. How they had brought down an Imperial cruiser together, how Kreez had been keen to recruit Din to her side even then. I know the clan name, Pa said. House Kreez. They were, a house divided, my father said, but he had fought beside some Kreezes, an Aden Kreez. Din shook his head. He hadn't heard that name. But he could fit the pieces together. Palis Vizsla had been Deathwatch. Kirtzad. Old Deathwatch, too, not the Deathwatch that had opposed Satine Kreez and her people during the Clone Wars, but the Deathwatch that had stood against Jaster Mareel. Din was pretty sure now that all of his elders had been part of that Deathwatch. And then they'd left. Either when Mareel had won first and banished the Deathwatch from Mandalorian space, or when Jango Fett had killed Tor Vizsla and made room for the neutral Mandalorians to take power, scattering Deathwatch again. This Aden Kreez, Din thought, he must have been Bo-Katan's kinsman if he fought for Deathwatch and she fought for Deathwatch later. But I heard of Lady Kreez, Paz continued. From Annika. She heard of her from the Allure. Vreska told her. She told Annika of the false Mandalorians. False ways. Bo-Katan Kreez, Annika told me, was a leader among them. Din closed his eyes briefly. Paz, he said. You can't tell Kreez to her face that she's a false Mandalorian. Paz made a grumbling sound deep in his throat. Why not? He said. I owe her no loyalty. But I do, Din said. Paz tilted his head. She helped me, Din elaborated. He nodded down at Grogu, who was doing his best to pry one of Paz's Verd knives from his boots. When the Empire took the kid. She and her Night Owls helped me get him back. I swore. Din shook his head. He couldn't explain what he'd sworn. To go back to Mandalore to help Kreez take it back. But Mandalore was gone. It wasn't coming back, no matter how hard Kreez tried to resurrect the old ways, no matter how badly she wanted things to be as they had been. The planet was dead. Din had felt it. This gathering, this plan of Kreez's to make the Empire bleed for what they had done, was not what Din had sworn to do. It wasn't what he owed Kreez. But I'm here, he thought, and I owe her something, don't I? And if not her, then Grogu, then Paz and Strill and the kids, then everyone. I have the Darksaber. That means something to the others. Even if I can just find someone to take it back, I owe it to them. Duty pressed heavily on Din's shoulders. He looked Paz in the visor and lifted his chin. I owe her, Din said evenly. If you can't be civil, that's fine. You can stay here. Keep an eye on the kid for me. But Din didn't want to go face Kreez alone, and it must have shown on his face because Paz relented. His shoulders slumped. I can be civil, he muttered. Probably. Good, said Din, relieved again. I'll owe you, too. This time, when Paz looked at Din, Din wasn't sure what Paz was thinking or feeling. The set of his shoulders was strange, the way his hands curled into loose fists at his side, then relaxed. He looked almost apologetic. But That couldn't be right. Paz rarely apologized for anything.
Vodika, said Paz softly. Little brother. You don't owe me anything. I thought we'd settled that on Tatooine.
Din blinked, frown.
Settled? When you kicked my shebs, Paz clarified.
Din jolted, remembering now. When Paz had kicked him in the balls, and Din had done his best to break Paz's leg again, and they'd slumped together on the floor while Strill had called them idiots and gone to find Ushib.
My honor is satisfied, Paz had said.
Apparently, he'd meant it.
Nuentia, Din thought to himself. There is no debt.
Din's galaxy tilted on its axis. Not as badly as it had when he'd learned that Boba wasn't Mandalorian, but he still felt it. His understanding of the galaxy shifted. Vertigo roared in his ears.
Paz, Din realized, isn't doing this because he thinks that he owes me, or that he wants me to owe him. He's gonna help because he's my brother.
Din had always understood the galaxy as a carefully balanced series of debts. The Mandalorians had saved his life as a child, so he had thrown himself into their creed with everything he'd had. The covert had fed and sheltered him when he'd been a boy, so now, as a man, he'd done his best to feed and shelter them, too. Kreese had helped Din get Grogu back, so Din owed her his loyalty. Skywalker had taken Grogu in, had loved Grogu, taught him to use the Force safely. So Din owed Skywalker and all of his Jedi every scrap of protection and aid that Din could offer them.
And Boba?
Din's thoughts stuttered to a halt. Boba had said before that there was no debt, not between him and Din. He'd said it back at the very beginning of all of this, before he'd taken Din into his bed, before he'd ever kissed Din or fucked him, before he'd ever laid a hand or a flogger or a cane on Din's back, his throat, his chest, his cock. He had said it in the treasure rooms underneath Jabba's palace, in front of all that Beskar. That sacred Beskar in front of which no Mandalorian, no foundling or even the son of a foundling, would ever lie. There is no debt, he had said.
He meant it, Din realized.
He felt like Paz had punched him right between the eyes, behind the ear, in the chest.
All this time, Din thought, Boba meant it.
Din had never considered that. Later he had believed Boba when he'd said it. After the caning, when Boba had made Din bleed, when he'd taken away all of Din's guilt, his grief, Din had believed him. But if there had been no debt between Din and Boba since the beginning, when Din was working for the Beskar, when he was helping Boba establish the outfit to settle the debt of all the care Boba had shown him, the affection, all of the pain, for the shelter of the palace and the shelter of work, for the peace...
I, Din thought distantly, flexing his hands to keep them from shaking, have been a carking idiot.
If there was no debt between Din and Boba, if there had never been debt since that initial agreement between them had been satisfied when Boba had helped Din get Grogu back and Din had returned Boba's armor, then Boba had done everything that he'd done because he'd meant it. Because he had wanted to do it.
I misunderstood, Din thought.
The thought was distant and, strangely, very cool, like a balm to a wound Din hadn't realized that he'd been carrying. Boba hadn't done any of what he'd done because he had believed that he'd owed Din, and Din hadn't owed him anything either. Boba hadn't helped Din out of pity in the beginning. He had helped Din because he'd wanted to. Because inflicting pain had helped them both.
And he told me that, Din thought. But I didn't believe him. I couldn't.
Din thought that Boba had been like the Creed. He'd thought it up until this very moment when Paz had set things out in bright, clear light for him. The Creed was a balance of debts. Din could see that now. Under the Creed, he had had protection, tribe, He had had safety and care, armor and honor. And in return, Din had owed the Creed his obedience, his face, his own name some days. He had never given it to an outsider before he'd given it to Fennec and Boba, wary of getting too close to breaking the Creed by getting close to an outsider. But Din hadn't owed Boba obedience. He'd given it. Boba had asked him for it. But it hadn't been like the Creed. Boba is a man, Din thought, remembering some of the arguments he'd had about this with Boba before. And men make mistakes. Brothers could wound each other, lovers could quarrel. But that doesn't mean that I'm lost, Din thought. The Creed, breaking it, made me Darmanda. Or it was supposed to make me Darmanda. I'm supposed to be lost to it. Forever. Lost to my people. But if Boba's not the Creed... Din, said Paz, concerned. What's wrong?
Boo,
Grogu added, abandoning his inspection of Paz's boots to waddle back over to Din, his eyes widening. Nothing, said Din distantly, still thinking. It's just... I've been an idiot, that's all. I looked at what I had with Boba, what we were doing together, the wrong way, Din thought. I was missing the Creed. I wanted it back. Boba gave me something like it. But not something, Din realized now, that Din could ever break or turn from, like he'd broken the Creed. There was no absolution under the Creed. But if Din had broken one of Boba's rules, he could have atoned for it, apologized. And then, like the caning, it would have been over, the debt erased. And Din had trusted Boba with that. He had trusted Boba to uphold his side of the rules. He had trusted Boba with his armor and his face and his back and his heart, even though Boba hadn't known about that last part. And even though Boba was not Mandalorian, he had safeguarded all of those things. Not because he had owed Din, or Din had owed Boba, but because Boba had wanted to. Well, that's nothing new, Paz rumbled, relaxing again. I promise you that I won't start a fight with this Creed, Din. Today, at least. Meaning that Paz probably would start a fight with Creed tomorrow, but Kreez had cobbled together all of the Mandalorians that she could find. If she wasn't expecting a few fights, she had made a mistake calling together all of their people. Good enough, Din said. He shook himself a little, setting his revelation and its tilted axis aside for now. It was something to think about later, something to examine privately when every thought and feeling Din had about it didn't flash across his face. Can I leave the kid here with yours? Din added, making himself focus. To the kid, he said. What do you think, huh? Want to meet your cousins? Grogu liked other kids more than strange adults, so his ears pricked up a little. Paz thought about it for a moment, then nodded. Don't see why not, he said. It's been a while since my kids have had a little one around, but they'll be gentle enough. All of Grogu's friends can levitate each other with their minds, Din told Paz, amused. Shock and guilt and a thin, tenuous hope, a fragile joy, were still blooming in the back of his mind, but Din walled those feelings off for now. He'll be fine. Paz agreed that it was probably a bad idea to bring Grogu up onto the light cruiser, since neither he nor Din knew what Kreese's Creed actually was and whether or not it protected the children of rival clans, and took Din and Grogu both up onto the Huntress, where Strill and the kids were gathered around a crate that had been turned into a table, sharing a meal. The kids all flinched at the sight of Din and his bare face, which made him wish that he'd ducked back into the fly to pull his helmet on, if only to set Paz's children at ease. But Strill greeted Din with her usual easy cheer and took charge of Grogu, who the other kids accepted without much trouble. By the time Din and Paz were ready to leave, Grogu was entertaining his cousins. His Alivodu, Strill had called them, With Force Trix, Entuk, Paz's son, had invited Grogu back to the Foundling's room to play. "See?" Din murmured, as he and Paz made their way back down from the Huntress and up to the fly. "Told you the kids would be fine."
"He's something," Paz muttered back.
Din had told Paz that Grogu was a Jedi, of course, but Paz had never seen it. Watching Grogu levitate Myrda, the youngest of Paz's kids, 4 or 5 feet into the air while the girl had laughed, had opened Paz's eyes a little.
"He is," Din agreed.
He wished that Strill was coming with them. She was steady, like Annika had been. "Is," Din corrected himself firmly, refusing to think of Annika as someone dead. And Din had a feeling that he and Paz were going to need some steadiness. Kreese was going to be angry with Din, and no one took well to Paz the first time they met him. Paz was right, though. It's too dangerous for the kids. Tomorrow it would be safer. There would be other Mandalorians, other Creeds and Ways around, and Kreese wouldn't want to drive them off too early. Paz's kids were older than Din's, but Paz still didn't want to leave them unguarded unless he had to. Din ushered Paz up into the belly of the fly and offered Paz the co-pilot seat, which Paz ignored in favor of rifling through all of Din's things. Din sighed and disengaged the landing gear, coaxing the fly first to life and then back into the sky. "There's not much to find," he told Paz, not that he expected Paz to listen. The Razor Crest had carried 15 or so odd years of Din's life with it. He hadn't had much on board, but he had had everything that he'd owned. Weapons, all of his gear, his carbonite rig. The fly, in contrast, only had a few odds and ends. Din hadn't actually spent much time flying her, really. He'd taken that first run to Boss Pity and to Yavin 4, and he'd flown the fly around Tatooine on a few jobs for Boba, but Din had lived out of the crest. So far, the fly had just taken him from place to place. Din lifted the ship out of Cronest's atmosphere as easily as he'd come down, the planet disappearing into the clouds breaking apart to reveal the black of space. The Gratua was still orbiting Cronest, and her fleet of attendants had grown. Paz finally stopped nosing around in the fly's belly and came into the cockpit. He was holding Din's helmet in one of his big hands. At Din's curious glance, Paz said, "You should wear it, in case someone wants to shoot you." That was a fair point. Din took his helmet back, studied its face for a moment, then pulled it over his head, engaging the seals. Once he cleared Cronest's atmosphere, his comms array began to ping again. This time, Din answered it. Kreese's equipment was evidently higher grade than Paz and Strill's. Her image appeared in Din's holodisplay at once, crisp and clear, and as soon as she saw Din, Kreese narrowed her eyes. She was wearing her armor, but not her helmet. Her hair was pulled back in its usual style, and every edge of her was sharp, dangerous. Din was glad he'd pulled on his helmet. Apprehension began to pool somewhere low in his gut, and he didn't want it to show on his face, too. "Jaren," Kreese said shortly. She looked him up and down. Her eyes flashed like Beskar blades. "Good of you to join us." "Lady Kreese," Din returned, tone cool. He gave Kreese her proper title, but didn't offer the excuses that she was obviously expecting. Her expression shifted, a more calculating look entered her eyes. "What were you doing on Cronest?" she asked. "We hailed you when you arrived." "Did you?" said Din. "Must have missed it." Behind him, Din heard Paz huff out a startled laugh, quiet enough that Bo-Katan didn't hear him. Kreese's gaze narrowed, so Din relented. "I brought my son," he said. "I was dropping him off to spend some time with his cousins. They haven't seen each other in a while." At that, Kreese finally relaxed. "You convinced some of your people to attend?" she said. Din was sure that Kreese was monitoring who came into the system, just like Paz and Strill had been, but he didn't need to irritate Kreese again by pointing that out. "I did," he said. To his surprise, Kreese only nodded. She didn't say anything about Din being Damanda, about him being clanless now, Arueti. Paz didn't step fully into view either. He was hanging back near the cockpit door out of the holoscanner's line of sight. He wouldn't be showing up on Kreese's holodisplay. "Permission to dock?" Din asked, instead of giving Kreese an opening to ask him questions. Kreese blinked at him for a moment, thrown, like she had forgotten that Din was supposed to be attending the gathering as one of her people. Yes, she said after a long pause. Permission granted. Come find me on the bridge. Kreese out. The hologram cut off without any further questions or instructions. Kreese was going to let Din aboard. That was good. He hadn't wanted to think about it, as he'd been rising through the atmosphere, but Kreese could have very easily decided to solve her problem with Din by shooting him out of the sky. He was glad that she hadn't.
She's still treating me as though I have honor, he thought, like an ally, if she thought that I was her enemy.
Din let out a breath. His hands were steady on the control yoke.
You sure this is a good idea, Din? Paz asked quietly.
He'd stepped back into the cockpit now and was staring at the silent comms array with dark focus.
It's not too late to leave.
He didn't say what it was about Kreese that had put him on edge, but Din thought that he could guess. Kreese had calmed Din with her face bare. She had given Din orders. She expected to be obeyed.
Yes, it is. Din murmured, watching a pair of the graceful hawk-like starfighters peel away from the Gratua's side and soar through the black to flank the fly.
One of the fighters was iron-gray, its wings lined with blue and black paint, and the other was white with blue stripes painted down the sides of its body.
Deathwatch colors, Din thought. Night Owl colors.
Kreese's colors. There was no doubt in Din's mind who the fighter pilots were going to side with.
Side with? Din thought to himself as he allowed the strange fighters to guide him to the Gratua, where he nosed down into the first open bay and set the fly down. Do I think it's going to turn into a war?
Din had learned a lot about Mandalorians these last few months. He had learned more about them after becoming Darmanda than he'd ever learned as a Verd.
Yeah, he thought, remembering the history Boba had sketched out for him in his rooms over the Tatooine Desert.
The betrayals and the bloodshed, the clans torn apart, the wars that had ravaged Mandalore and its people without end for hundreds of years.
I do.
With that dire feeling ringing around inside his bucket, Din powered the fly down and let Paz follow him off the ship and into the stark white hallways of the Gratua. Paz stuck close to Din's side.
I don't like this, Paz muttered.
Din had slowed down his usual pace to accommodate Paz's limp. The Gratua's white light seared them both.
This feels like a trap.
That's why you're here, Din muttered back. Paz grunted.
If it all goes to Kark in a Klatooinian Karst, you can pull out your plasma thrower again, Din suggested, mostly to keep Paz from being too wary and therefore too much of a chapeur. Just don't miss this time.
That got Din another irritated grunt.
Heard about that, did you?
Paz didn't sound sorry for trying to kill Boba. Din resisted the urge to kick Paz in the bad leg.
I saw it, Din said flatly. You melted half the wall. Would have melted fat too, Paz said. But the miserable son of a Strill ducked.
Din was prevented from asking Paz what in all the stars and planets he'd been thinking, attacking Boba Fett and Boba's own palace, after Din had asked Paz to leave Boba alone, by their arrival at the bridge. The bridge doors were open this time, and the bridge was even busier than it had been when Din had been here last. Din tensed, and he felt Paz tense beside him, too. Kreese herself had taken one of the control stations and was studying several blinking lights as they made their way across a star map. The other Mandalorians that Din had met above Tatooine were here, too, accompanied by several others he didn't recognize. Torg Saxon in white and green armor, with two others in similar colors beside him. Tristan Wren, the son of the clan that was hosting the summit. Myra Antilles and three other older warriors, their armor chipped and dented from use, clustered near the viewport, talking among themselves. Koska was here too, leaning against the console that Kreese was using. Woves wasn't around. When Koska caught sight of Din, she nudged Kreese, who looked up from her star map. Kreese's expression was just as sharp in person as it had been over the comms. Din steeled himself. He stood straight and tall. Kreese's eyes flickered over Paz, taking in the size of him, the well-worn look of his armor, then flickered back to Din.
Jaren,
Kreese said. Welcome aboard. Lady Kreese, Din returned, keeping his voice even. Silence had fallen over the bridge. Everyone but Koska and Kreese was still pretending to work, to be absorbed in their own business, but Din could feel the fine, sharp edge of their attention. It slid down his awareness like a Verd knife scraping over raw metal, scattering sparks across his feet. Behind Din, Paz shifted. Kreese looked past Din again. And who is this? She asked. A child of the Watch, Din said calmly. He'd let Paz introduce himself. Paz, he thought, would probably enjoy it. A murmur went across the bridge. Din lifted his chin. You asked me to bring you my people, too, Din said. He gestured at Paz, who took the motion as an invitation to step up to Din's side. His solidity wasn't as reassuring as Bobus had become on Tatooine, but it was close enough. It was a reminder that Din wasn't staring down this nest of shriekhawks on his own. Kreese was silent for a beat, then she inclined her head, gracious as any queen, and said, Sukhugar kirad, olorom. Din didn't know most of those words, but Paz had evidently learned just as much from the Verdike as Din had learned from Boba. He knew how to reply, at least. Sukhoi, Paz rumbled, adigurish. Everyone on the bridge stiffened. I, Kreese said softly, have forgotten nothing, Mandalorian. Din closed his eyes. He'd told Paz not to poke or needle Kreese, not to be himself for one Shavla second. But Paz had apparently forgotten that he'd agreed to leave Kreese alone between the fly and the bridge, and now Kreese and Koska both were staring at Paz like they wanted to spill his blood across the floor. They're angry, Din thought, looking at some of the other Mandalorians out of the corners of his eyes. But no one else is. Everyone was watching Paz and Kreese very closely, Din almost entirely forgotten, but no one was reaching for a blaster or a knife. Interesting, Din thought. Whatever Paz called Kreese, there's some truth to it, maybe. Din's heart sank. The politics had started already, it seemed. No, Paz said, his tone deceptively light. Din's fingers twitched. He wanted his spear in his hands. He wanted the darksaber. Interesting. Didn't your house once owe mine loyalty, Bo-Katan Kreese? Koska made a rough sound rising from her affected slouch, but Kreese held out a hand to stop her. Kreese's eyes had narrowed again, gleaming like a crate dragon peering out from the depths of its caves. Who are you? She demanded. Paz Vizsla, Paz rumbled without hesitation, and Kreese froze. Another louder murmur shot across the bridge, rippling like water disturbed by a stone. Vizsla, Din heard. Did he say his name was Vizsla? Din had wondered a little if something like this was going to happen. He had paid attention to Boba's stories. Death Watch had been led by House Vizsla twice, Tor first, then Prey. As far as Din knew, Paz wasn't the direct descendant of either branch of House Vizsla. Palace had been older than Prey, and all of Tor Vizsla's sons had been killed. But Din hadn't known that House Kreese had apparently served House Vizsla. Kreese's expression was hard as Beskar. That was a long time ago, Paz Vizsla, she said, and any oath we held was to the great clan, not to any of its branches. Paz was silent for a moment, and then, to Din's surprise, he shrugged. Fair enough, he said easily. The tension in the room faded. I should have brought Strill, Din thought, his own heart still pounding. He had thought, for a long moment, that Kreese had been ready to go for Paz's throat. Well met, said Kreese dryly, once everyone else on the bridge had calmed down. Some of the feverish brightness in her eyes faded. This is the Gratua. You are welcome here. Paz only inclined his head. If the alternative was Paz opening his mouth again and plunging the bridge into a full-blown brawl, Din would take silence. And you're welcome here too, Jaren, Kreese added loud enough to be heard. That gave Din some pause. If Kreese felt the need to say that Din was welcome, even though he was ostensibly here as one of her Talvore sworn to her quest, then Koska's been talking, Din thought. If Kreese was reaffirming Din's place, that meant there had been a question about Din's place. And Kreese chose to allow me to stay, he thought, surprised again. Din hadn't expected that. From how Koska had reacted when she had learned that Din was Darmanda, Din had expected Kreese to pull him aside, to threaten him, maybe, to take the Darksaber back and send Din away, to stick a knife in his ribs. He hadn't expected this. Din wasn't sure how to respond, so he responded just as Paz had, inclining his head, letting Bo-Katan accept him among her people. "You know everyone here?" Kreese continued, calmly, like she and Paz hadn't almost come to blows. "I know most," Din said, looking around again. Antilles nodded at him, her expression friendly enough. Koska told him that Antilles was one of Kreese's staunchest allies. If Kreese was willing to accept Din here, it looked like Antilles was too. Torg Saxon elbowed one of his white and green companions, then tilted his chin up at Din, playfully challenging. Anacast, her eyes flat and green, just looked at him, and Tristan Wren did the same. What did she say to them? Din wondered. Did she tell them that I was Darmanda, or did she tell them that I was confused, that I didn't know what I was saying because my elders kept other ways from me? Din would need to find out what Koska and Kreese had told the others. He didn't know how he was going to go about doing that, but he'd figure something out. Come, then, Kreese said, moving from the console. Let me introduce you. Koska, you've got the bridge. Koska nodded. Kreese made her way to Din's side. She didn't take his arm or his elbow, didn't touch him at all, but he could tell from the way she was standing, helmet tucked under one arm, that she expected him to follow. Din looked at Paz. Paz dipped his head. Paz would stay with Din, at least for now. Wary, but willing to accept Kreese's goodwill while she was still offering it to him, Din let her take him around the bridge, introducing him to the Mandalorians he hadn't met. Two of the ones with Myra and Tilly's were Night Owls. They wore the same armor as Koska and Axe. They had the same signet. Both of the Night Owls were human. One was a dark-skinned man with long, braided black hair, and the other was a woman with amber skin and a short shock of bone-white hair. The man had a scar across the bridge of his nose. The woman had three scars crossing her mouth, like she'd been clawed in the face by some great animal. Kreese introduced them as Terran and Tabris Eldar. The fourth warrior in that corner of the bridge introduced herself. She was a Togruta, like Ahsoka Tano, but her skin was green instead of orange, and her long mantras were white and yellow. She was one of the tallest Togrutas that Din had ever seen. She had full Beskar Gam on, the mark of a true warrior, and her armor was painted a rich red and gold, with purple painted carefully around the lines of her Karta Beskar. Her helmet, tucked into the curve of one arm, was modified to let her mantras hang freely. "Veshuk," she said, extending her hand. Din eyed her for a moment, confused. He hadn't expected any of Kreese's people to be friendly, but took her hand and smiled underneath his helmet when she gripped his forearm properly. "Veshuk Baroya." Din knew that Baroya meant hunter. It was one of the few words he'd known before meeting Boba. He hadn't known that there was a clan Baroya, but he was happy enough to introduce himself to Veshuk, taking her offer of friendliness and returning it. Kreese didn't let Din linger and forge alliances, of course. After Myra and Tilly's contingent, Kreese introduced Din to Torg Saxon's older brothers, Pike and Wells, and several other Mandalorians who had come to answer Kreese's summons. Din was pretty sure that Bo-Katan was showing him off. She didn't say as much, didn't say much to Din at all, actually, and she didn't acknowledge Paz again. But Din got the distinct impression, as Kreese introduced him to warrior after warrior, told them all how Din had helped her take this cruiser, how Din had fought the Empire, that Kreese was showing Din off like a syndicate boss showed off their favorite pet rancor. Din wasn't sure how he felt about that. He wasn't sure he understood it, not really. Judging by the black looks Koska kept shooting at Din's back, he felt them land like blaster bolts singing against his armor. Koska hadn't forgiven Din for the argument they'd had in the cramped conference room just off Boba's throne. And if she hadn't forgiven Din, she had definitely told Bo-Katan that Din was Darmanda.
I told Koska that Kreese could have the darksaber, he thought. I told her that I'd do whatever Kreese needed me to do, but Kreese, she's not acting like I'm Darmanda.
Din had expected Kreese to announce to all of her allies that Din was an Arrueti, and Arrueti couldn't rule Mandalore after all, an outsider had no claim to the Mandalorian throne. An outsider wasn't a threat to Kreese's dream. So why isn't she saying anything?
Troubled, Din followed Kreese out of the bridge once she'd introduced him to all of the Mandalorians there. She angled herself down a half-familiar set of hallways and set off, clearly expecting Din to follow her. Din looked back at Paz, who was still at Din's shoulder, uncomplaining despite how much all of this walking probably had hurt his bad leg. Paz shrugged.
Vizsla, Kreese said, addressing Paz for the first time since their initial introduction, even though she didn't turn around to look at either Din or his brother.
You don't have to mind Jaren. I'm not going to hurt him or have him killed.
Din raised his eyebrows. That was good to hear, probably.
So why do I feel like I've still stepped into that crate dragon trap?
The trap Din had stepped into with Koska when she'd come to Tatooine. The expectation she'd said that Bo-Katan had of Din.
From what I hear, Paz said, his tone still cheerful enough for him. Your word's worth about as much as a Whoopi-Oopian Coruscant.
Paz, Din hissed, glad he'd left Grogu behind with Strill, since he and Paz were both definitely about to be killed. But Paz only shrugged. Kreese finally turned around and looked at them both. Din had expected a ferocious expression. He had expected anger. He'd expected Kreese to look at Paz like she had looked at Boba and Trask. Like she couldn't quite believe that Paz had the gall to speak to her. But she just looked interested, curious almost.
You clearly, she said, tone mild, think that you know more about me than I know about you, Paz Vizsla. Who's your father?
I don't see what my dad has to do with your ability to keep your word, said Paz. His voice was just as mild as Kreese's. Din wasn't sure what was happening. Paz didn't play politics. He had never been interested in power, in rumor or reputation. Paz had always proven himself with his fists. But this...
I keep my word just fine, said Kreese.
Do you? Paz challenged. What about your word to Death Watch?
I kept my oath to Death Watch, she said.
Kreese's tone cooled. I swore to follow Pre Vizsla. I followed him even when he made mistakes, when he chose to throw his cards in with a Sith Lord. And then Pre Vizsla died.
And you left Death Watch, Paz said.
Din glared at him. Paz had said that he'd heard of Kreese, not that he knew her entire history, that he knew when she'd followed Death Watch and when she'd left.
How does the Allure know all of that? Din wondered.
She must have told Annika, who told Paz, but who told her? The Allure had led Din's covert since he'd been a child, and Din had been brought into the covert during the Clone Wars. All that had happened with Satine Kreese and Pre Vizsla had happened during the Clone Wars, too. Boba had told Din as much. The Allure had already been in the covert by then. How did she know of Bo-Katan Kreese?
Like I said, Kreese replied. I swore my oath to Pre Vizsla, not Darth Maul. An outsider will never rule Mandalore.
Din's stomach lurched at that. The darksaber was still hidden by the folds of his cloak, but he had it with him. Kreese probably knew that he had it with him. And that's what I am, he thought. An outsider. If she doesn't work with outsiders, why am I here?
Paz, Din said, coming to a decision. He wasn't going to learn anything with Paz and Kreese sniping at each other, and Kreese had said that Din would be safe, that she wouldn't hurt him or have him killed. Maybe she does intend to take the darksaber back, he thought. Maybe all of this. Maybe it can be over.
You can go back to the bridge, Din continued. He met Kreese's eyes and held them.
I think Lady Kreese wants to speak to me alone.
Paz made a rumbling noise, obviously not keen on the idea. But he didn't argue. He only said,
"You sure, Jaren?"
Din had brought Paz here as backup. Din had needed backup on the bridge. On the bridge, he'd been outnumbered. But if Din went with Kreese now, it would just be the two of them. One-to-one. If she did break her word and went for Din's throat, he at least had a chance to fend her off. But she said that she wouldn't. "Yes," Din said, hoping that Kreese did intend to be honorable now. "I'm sure." Paz hesitated, but finally dipped his head.
"Fine," he said. 5 minutes. Then I'm going to come looking for you."
Din smiled faintly.
5 minutes, he agreed.
Kreese waited until Paz had lumbered away, back in the direction of the bridge, then snorted.
"A Vizsla," she said. "Really?"
Din shrugged. "We had half a dozen clans down in the covert," he said. Kreese eyed Din.
"And yet you're clanless," she observed.
Din fixed her with a cool stare of his own, even though she couldn't see it through his helmet. That was all right. He didn't want to take it off and show her his face. He didn't want Kreese to know what he was thinking.
"I'm Darmanda," Din said bluntly, "so it doesn't really matter if I've got a clan or not, does it?"
Kreese, to her credit, didn't flinch. She had expected to have this conversation then.
"That's what Casca told me," she returned. Her tone had evened out again.
Din didn't trust it. Kreese was only genuine when Din could hear her anger in her voice, her passion. She was devoid of all of that now, which meant that she wanted something.
"Kara Balkarajar, and what did you say to her? I sent her to Tatooine, and she came storming back like you'd killed her favorite pet Strill."
Din scowled. "We argued," he said shortly. "I'm sure she told you that." Kreese set a free hand on her hips. She still had her helmet in the other.
"She told me," she said, "that you had some objections to my quest here and to your place in it."
"It's not that I have an objection," Din snapped. He didn't like the way that Kreese had said that, like this was some sort of philosophical argument, not a matter of truth and untruth. Like she thought that she could still talk Din into serving as her figurehead, her talvod, her armor.
"It's that I'm not what you think I am."
"You've said that," said Kreese. "You think you're Darmanda." Din bristled.
"I am," he said. "It's not that I think that I am, it's that I am. What I think about it doesn't change anything."
Kreese had the audacity, the choruka, Boba might say, to laugh in Din's face. The sound was bright and cutting. Din flinched, and then he curled his hands into loose fists. It wasn't something to laugh about. Din was Darmanda. Kreese should be... She should be reacting with horror, with rage. She was a true Mandalorian. Din knew that now. Kreese had her own way. It was different from the way Din had followed, but that way was still her own. And because she was a real Mandalorian, she ought to know what Din meant, what being Darmanda meant.
"Sorry," Kreese said after a moment, sobering a little. "I know it... Well, to you, it probably feels like the end of the world, doesn't it?"
Din just stared at her. Kreese waved a hand.
"I mean it," she said. "You, Kerade, you children of the Watch, you take your creed very seriously, don't you?"
"It is the creed," Din said, not understanding. "Of course we take it seriously."
"You do realize," Bo-Katan said, "that you're the only ones who do?"
"What?"
"You're extremists," she continued, slowly, like she thought that Din was a particularly dim massif that couldn't figure out how to sit when it was told. "Meaning that you have extreme beliefs. All of you, your elders, your warriors, your children, follow your creed like breaking it means death, right?"
Din's mouth was numb. Anger broke open, cold and dangerous in his chest. But he was honest, so he said,
"It is death."
"It is not," Kreese said. "You're still here, aren't you?"
"I'm here," Din said, touching his chest plate.
Then he closed his fist against his chest, like a Tusken signing their word for heart. Two hearts, Din thought distantly. the home of the blood and the home of the spirit. Maybe that was what he had lost when he had broken the creed. Not his blood or his body, but his spirit. But my Manda, Din began, but even as he started to form the familiar words, the familiar explanation, that Din's Mandalorian spirit had died, that his right to the name, to the armor, had broken. What Din had told Boba and Cobb Vanth, what he'd told Paz, what he'd argued about with himself in the desert and Boba in the moon's light, Din knew that he didn't really believe them anymore. Din hadn't died. Not in body and not in spirit, either. Breaking the creed hasn't changed him, not really. He was still himself. He was still... I still wear armor, he thought. I still look after my kid. I still help my Alor when I can. I give shelter to my kin. I keep my word, even when it's karking stupid to do it, and I... And I still feel like a Mandalorian. I still feel like me. Kreese's eyes glittered. Your Manda, she said softly. Your soul, that's what they told you, right? Din looked at her, his anger draining away. Din swallowed. What am I, he said, if I don't keep my word? The creed... You think it's ridiculous, extreme. That's your business. Your way is different, but this was... My way. So pick a new way, said Kreese, waving a hand. There are 50, you know. You'll find that out tomorrow, I suppose. You broke a creed that no person, no Mandalorian, should have been asked to swear in the first place. You told me on Trask. I didn't listen at the time, but you did tell me. You told me what it had asked of you, that you couldn't show your face, not even to your own son. Koska told you that too, did she? Din muttered. It wasn't a question. His skin prickled. Part of him wanted to believe what Kreese was saying, what she was suggesting. If Din's creed had been wrong, cruel, extreme, then breaking it wasn't wrong. And if Din hadn't lost his Manda, he could pick another way, right? It all sounded so reasonable. But... It's Kreese, Din reminded himself. And maybe she does want to help me. Maybe she wants to see me accept another way to be Mandalorian again. But she doesn't want it for me. Kreese wasn't Boba, who had given Din as much peace as he could because he had wanted Din to be happy. Kreese wanted Din for her figurehead, for her good story. And what's a better story, Din thought darkly. Than reforming an extremist. He knew what Kreese must have told all of her people now, what she must have said to get them all to let Din land on the Gratua. She'd told them that Din had been lied to, tricked, that he'd thought there was only one way of the Mandalore, and now he'd learned that there were more. She'd told them that he wasn't Darmanda, that he'd just been confused, misled. Din didn't think that his creed had been right anymore, but that was his realization, that was his fight. It wasn't Kreese's, and Din wasn't going to let her use his pain to convince other Mandalorians to throw their lives away chasing the ghost of the Empire. What does it mean to you? Din asked, looking up again. Kreese blinked. Being Darmanda, Din said. For us it is, it's... Breaking the creed, it's showing our faces to another living thing, because doing so betrays our secrecy, and our secrecy is our survival. In showing his face on Morak, Din had put his whole tribe at risk. The tribe had been long gone by then, broken and scattered, but the sin was the same. What does it mean to you? Din repeated, frowning to himself. Kreese studied him for a moment. It means... she said slowly, that one has turned their back on their own people. Someone who is Darmanda is someone who has renounced their identity, their blood, their clan. Din closed his eyes. He could hear Kreese's true meaning, what she really wanted to say.
Not, he heard Cree say, even though she didn't speak the words out loud. Someone who has broken their creed. But our creed is our identity, Din thought, even though that wasn't true for Din anymore. So, it's the same thing, really, just a different set of words. Look, said Kreese with a sigh, I'm not saying you need to pick a better way now, I can't pick that for you, no one can. But there's no reason to throw your heritage, your birthright away, Jaren. Not over some words that someone else made you swear when you were a child. No one made me do it, Din said, anger prickling in his chest again. No one held me at blaster point and told me to become Mandalorian or else. That wasn't practical. Being a Mandalorian was hard, it was dangerous. It would have been easier to walk away after the Foundling's trial. To let the tribe drop him off with a nice settler family somewhere, like they did for all the kids who just couldn't cut it in the Fighting Corps. But Din's heart was sinking again, and he knew what Kreese was going to say before she said it. Not a blaster, maybe, she said softly. But what would they have done if you had chosen not to swear the creed? Nothing, Din growled. We don't hurt children. No, Kreese agreed. No Mandalorian, no true Mandalorian would do that. But they wouldn't have let you stay with them, would they? Din froze. They would have sent you away, Kreese continued. Din wanted to tell her to stop, to shout Gev. He didn't want to hear this. He knew that what she was saying was true. He knew that she was wielding that truth like Din now wielded the Darksaber, skilled enough to cut with it, to hurt, to kill. But Kreese wasn't Boba. She wouldn't stop just because Din wanted her to. They would have abandoned you, she said. A foundling, an orphan. You would have been alone. The tribe would have made sure that Din had gone to a good family, to someone who would have taken care of him. Kark, he thought. They would have dropped me off in some village like the one I grew up in a village like Omera's, and wished me the best. But Kreese was right. If Din hadn't sworn the creed as a child, the tribe would have left him. He would have been alone. The Mandalorians had saved Din. They had rescued him from the end of his universe that day the Separatists had come. The thought of losing them, of being sent away. A choice made at blaster point, Kreese said, as if she had not leveled a blaster of her own between Din's eyes. Is hardly a choice at all, Din. She had never called Din by his name before. It sounded strange coming out of her mouth. But then that might just have been the wild ringing in Din's ears. A choice made at blaster point is hardly a choice at all. It wasn't them, Din said. It was me. I didn't want to be alone. That was... Any blaster there was mine, Kreese, not my people's. They loved me. I'm sure they did, said Kreese. She sounded almost wistful, of all things. You, Kirad, you are very loyal to one another, I've noticed that. You're all one clan, despite how many houses and clans and old bloodlines are mixed in among you. That's good, admirable. But you were a child. And now what? Din said bitterly. I'm a man. I can choose a creed that supports your agenda. Kreese's expression shifted a little, but she only shrugged. Preferably, she said. It would be more convenient. If you want to pick up something more esoteric, we can manage. A Mandalorian's path is their own, after all. But you'd do well under the Ressel Narre, I think. Everyone can respect the Ressel Narre. So, even though Kreese had learned that Din had broken his creed, she still had plans for him. He could have laughed. He could have started shouting. He didn't want anything to do with this. Look, said Kreese, catching some of the tension in Din's shoulders. She looked like she wanted to reach out and touch him, but clearly thought better of it. I'm not saying that you should choose your way tonight. You don't even have to choose tomorrow. You think you're the only Mandalorian who will be at the summit who has lost their way or had it taken from them? Din lifted his head at that.
Yes, said Kreese, a hard edge entering her eyes again. An icy edge, like the gray fields on Cronest. You'll be at the summit tomorrow. She didn't ask. I'm Darmanda, Din repeated. I shouldn't be there. It's a gathering for Mandalorians. Kreese waved a hand dismissively. You're one of mine, she said. And the way she said it was so proprietary, so self-assured, that Din half wanted to agree, relieved to have something that resembled a clan, and half wanting to snarl at her. I don't need your clan, he thought angrily. I have a clan of my own. It was not a Mandalorian clan. Now that Din knew that Boba wasn't Mandalorian, he couldn't even say that his clan was led by a Mandalorian. But it was Din's. It was Grogu and Fennec and Cobb and Nura. It was the friends Din had made among the Ahra and the friends he'd made among the Tuskra, too. It was the Jedi who had given Din shelter and rest, who had taken in his son. Din didn't need Bo-Katan's protection. What she'd told him had some merit. He hated how she'd told him, but she was at least halfway right. Din hadn't been given a choice, not a proper one, not one with all of the creeds and ways of the Mandalorians laid out in front of him and a helmet waiting for him no matter which creed or way he chose. This is the way, his elders had taught him. Not a way, or even our way, but the only way. That had been a lie. And a choice made based on a lie. Is it a true choice, Din thought. He knew the answer. No. Din took a deep breath, then let it out again. I will go to the summit, Din said evenly. He looked at Kreese again, and even though his helmet was on, he tried to let her know that he was serious. I'll even stand with you. If you want me to tell people what happened on the light cruiser, I will. If you want me to give up the darksaber, I will. But I am not, Din said, and this was dangerous, but it was true. You're Talvod. Kreese's expression went as cold as the night in the desert. I see, she said. Din spread his hands. Kaska told you, he said. I will not choose a creed that you want me to choose just because you want me to choose it. I'm not even sure I can choose another creed. But I won't do it just so you can be the Mandalore. That's not a choice either. Kreese smiled at Din again, and this time it was the smile of a predator, all teeth. You Kirad, she murmured. Her eyes glittered. Too honorable to know what's good for you. Fine, Jaren. Attend the summit. Stand with me and my people. Help me get what I want, and then we can wash our hands of each other and never see each other again. You can be Darmanda in truth. Kreese had said that among her people, one could only become Darmanda by turning their back on their heritage, their clan. But Kreese wasn't Din's clan. She doesn't get to tell me that I'm Darmanda either, he realized. That's not for her to decide. The thought was electrifying. It sizzled through Din like he touched a live wire. It's not for her to decide, Din thought. It's not for anyone to decide. It's for me. It's only for me. Din lifted his chin. I want to hear you say it, he said. He knew how Kreese thought now. He knew how her own sense of honor, different as it was from Din's, worked. Kreese stared at him, her lip curled. What? She sneered. That when the summit is done, Din said, we're settled. That the debt I owe you for helping me save my son is paid. Can a debt like that ever be paid? Asked Kreese, shrewd and clever. If I get you what you want, Din said. Then yes, I think so. Kreese chuckled. You don't even know what it is that I want, she said. Revenge against the Empire, Din said. That's what Kreese herself had told him here on the light cruiser. That was why she'd brought all the Mandalorians together in the first place. No, said Kreese. Though that would be a nice bonus. No, Jaren. What I want, she said, is Mandalore united. I want Mandalore to be strong again. It was Din's turn to stare at Kreese, confused. There is no Mandalore, he said. Kreese shook her head. There's no planet Mandalore, she corrected. The feverish light of a fanatic had entered her eyes. Instead of warming them, softening them, that light made her look more like a plane of ice, all razor edges, than ever. But the people. Din thought of all the Mandalorians on the bridge, the ships in the sky around Kreese's light cruiser, the ones that had already landed on Cronest. He thought of Strill down on the mountain, surrounded by all of the kids, and he thought of Paz on the bridge, surrounded by Mandalorians who might turn out in a day's time to be his enemies. The people, Din said, realizing at last what it was that Bo-Katan Kreese truly wanted, are all here.